The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the ReliefFactor.com studio inside the Beltway on Friday, August the 21st in the year of the plague, 2020. Joe Biden gave a very good speech, and it will play a lot of it in the course of the show today. He crushed expectations as he, and I'm glad he did it now rather than at the first debate. If you were really sneaky, strategic, you would add a couple of halts mixed in there and introduced even more doubt and then crushed it at the debates. But he's still got to come through with a half dozen tough interviews and three debates. But, okay, he performed last night. He reassured people at least for an hour about his energy and acuity. But the rhetoric is terrible. And before I go there, though, I want to start on an upbeat note. As we enter the end of the third week with 1 week left of our Food for the Poor drive, along with my colleagues Mike Gallagher and Dennis Prager and Sebastian Gorka, Larry Elder, the audience for the Salem syndicated shows has contributed $500,000 to Food for the Poor. It's really remarkable. I'd like to double that in the last week. And to inspire you, we went out and talked to Sarah, who is 16 years old, about what she has done for Food for the Poor, just to maybe lay a challenge down for you. Here's Sarah.
I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. And I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. But I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two, and it's for Food for the Poor. And so this year I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do. And so if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Bye.
Bye. Look, please be a Sarah, and whatever you can afford. Not asking you for a lot. The widow's mite will be for some of you. For others, you can write a check for $100,000. Whatever you'd like to do, you can do it at HughHewitt.com. Click on the emergency food relief banner. You can also call 855-359-4673. 855-359-4673. All weekend long, you can do that. And I thank you for it. Well, let's get to Vice President Biden. First thing he said was about the virus. Cut number 13.
Believing the job is all about him, never about you. Is that the American you want for you, your family, your children? I see a different America, one that's generous and strong, selfless and humble. It's an America we can rebuild together. As president, the first step I will take will be to get control of the virus that has ruined so many lives. Because I understand something this president hasn't from the beginning. We will never get our economy back on track. We will never get our kids safely back in schools. We'll never have our lives back until we deal with this virus. The tragedy of where we are today is it didn't have to be this bad. Just look around. It's not this bad in Canada or Europe or Japan or almost anywhere else in the world. And the president keeps telling us the virus is going to disappear. He keeps waiting for a miracle. Well, I have news for him. No miracle is coming. We lead the world in confirmed cases. We lead the world in deaths. Our economy is in tatters with Black, Latino, Asian American, Native American communities bearing the brunt of it. And after all this time, the president still does not have a plan. Well, I do. If I'm your president, on day one, we'll implement the national strategy I've been laying out since March. We'll develop and deploy rapid tests with results available immediately. We'll make the medical supplies and protective equipment that our country needs. And we'll make them here in America so we will never again be at the mercy of China or other foreign countries in order to protect our own people. We'll make sure our schools have the resources they need to be open, safe, and effective. We'll put politics aside. We'll take the muzzle off our experts so the public gets the information they need and deserve. Honest, unvarnished truth. They can handle it.
All right, so that's his pitch. And I want you to think about that. Everything he said he's going to be doing has already been done. Everything he said. Because we test more, we have more cases, and everybody understands. I don't think anyone believes what he said. The good news for Joe Biden is he didn't stumble when he said it. The good news is he was competent in the delivery, but I don't think the message is very persuasive. And by the way, we don't have an economic shambles. We have pockets of great unemployment. But I like what Larry Kudlow said yesterday on the White House lawn in counterpoint to Joe Biden, cut number 10.
Well, I just say that the economy is right now in a very strong rebound, which in my view is a self-sustaining recovery, even with the uncertainties about the virus, which are always present. I understand that. Jobs have been right. We've created 9 million jobs in the last 3 months. That's one point. We are in a housing boom, not a recovery, a boom. Housing, home builder sentiment is the highest in 22 years. Housing permits and starts are above the pre-pandemic level. Retail sales are above the February level. And what's interesting to me in production and manufacturing, every single one of those key indicators are V-shapes, everyone. And I think people should acknowledge that. If you look at it, the president, we did a bunch of charts for the president on Monday in his presser, and he put them up on the board for everybody to see. I'm not making this stuff up. These are the government statistics. So I think you've got a collapse of inventories in the second quarter, $350 billion drop. It's really unprecedented. Now you've got big gains in housing and car sales and consumers. You saw the numbers out of Lowe's and Home Depot and so forth. That shows you. So in order to meet the rising demand, they're going to have to rebuild inventories, which means more manufacturing, more construction, more jobs. So to me, it's a classic. So I will acknowledge always the virus threat. Fortunately now, the new cases are off about 35%. From their late July highs, and fortunately the fatalities are leveling off and starting to come down. No one can be sure. Putting that aside, even the, you know, breakout in the hot spots in late June and most of July really didn't restrain this recovery very much. I think you see it in some areas, but it was fairly minor. I was pleasantly surprised because I'm always worried about this. So, no, I think the stock market is correctly portraying not only a V-shaped recovery, but the stock market is seeing through the virus to the other side. You know, you're...
Okay, what I love about Larry, very calm, as opposed to Joe Biden's hyperbole last night. And I hope that at the RNC, everyone focuses on the V-shaped recovery and... The truth of the matter is we don't know what other countries have done. Some have done better than we have. Others have been far worse because we do the most testing. And I don't think the president can say this enough times. We have the most cases because we have already tested the most. And everything Joe Biden said has already been done. We can't make governors better at their jobs. And we can't stop governors from imposing shutdowns for political reasons. I saw a story yesterday in the Washington Free Beacon. The reporting is that Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan is holding back the Big Ten from holding a mini season in the fall. Michigan, they need one more team. They got six teams to agree to play: Ohio State, Nebraska, Penn State. And Whitmer vetoed Michigan from playing and bollocks up the whole thing. What is that except a political decision to destroy fun for people in the fall? That's the Democratic agenda. Make you miserable and then tell you it's the Republicans' fault or it's the fault of the Republicans not handling the virus. Put aside Andrew Cuomo and the nursing homes. Put aside Bill de Blasio not taking steps in New York. Put aside Whitmer. Put aside Portland, Seattle, Chicago, all this different stuff. I'll play you more Joe Biden. It is well-delivered tissue of half-truths. And he said, you have my word on it. You know, I will never lie to you. Honest to goodness, you can't believe him. Although competently delivered. Now, as Michael Goodwin in the Post points out, he can't retreat to the basement. Now he has to sit down and do some interviews, one would think. Stay tuned. I'll be right back on the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. To Hugh Hewitt. That Stephen Stills video is probably going to define the DNC's production value. It was terrible. John Podhoretz has a great column in the New York Post, which I just tweeted out. If you're not following me on Twitter, go find Hugh Hewitt, follow me, and read the pod. Piece because it's just magnificent. It was a cringe-inducing evening with overdone speeches from Cory Booker, Tammy Baldwin, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms of Atlanta, Julia Louise Dreyfus, and just before Biden took the stage, we were treated to an endless 5 minutes, writes J-Pod, with the admittedly gorgeous family of the basketballer Steph Curry, whose children may be adorable, but whose views of the electoral process were an unnecessary bit of time suckery and were accompanied by horrendous musical scores straight out of Barney the Purple Dinosaur. The whole evening had a cringe-inducing quality the three earlier nights largely avoided. But then Biden came on and did his job and rose above his own convention, just as he rose above the low expectations. All things considered and given his own idiosyncrasies as a public speaker and figure, Biden probably couldn't have done any better than he did last night. That's his high watermark. And we'll see. He now has, as Michael Goodwin, also writing in the New York Post, says, an obvious requirement to go out and talk to Chris Wallace and to go out and be interviewed by me, by people who will ask him tough questions courteously. And would ask, as I asked on Donald Trump about the Uyghurs, we have to ask tough questions, and he's been avoiding that. Hey, let me do a market report brought to you by Birch Gold. I expect the delivery of gold this very day, and we'll immediately take it to the safety deposit box because that's what I do. But you might want it in your IRA, and you might want Birch Gold to store it for you. That's what they'll do. They will roll over a portion of your IRA into physical gold or metal of another sort, platinum or silver. I just think gold is the easiest. Because you can see it's what its price this morning is $1,943 an ounce. You can get in touch with Birch Gold via HughGold.com, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Thorough, honest, terrifically reviewed, Better Business Bureau ratings. If you want security in a time of great insecurity, Anchor your portfolio 10 to 20% in gold. Do that. Yesterday, the markets were up. The Dow up 46, NASDAQ up 118, the S&P up 10. My tech proxy, Amazon, was up $36, 1% yesterday. Yeah, for the week, it's doing, it's having an amazing week. And overseas today, too early to predict what our market will do, but overseas, everything is green. Japan, Hong Kong, England, Germany, everything is good. And the 10-year Treasury is down at 0.64, so the housing boom that Larry Kudlow was talking about continues unabated, which will drive, it is what takes us out of any economic downturn is housing. It used to be cars, now it's housing, and it's booming. And that means employment will increase steadily, and Donald Trump's going to do it again. The way to kill the economy is to bring back the regulators and the crazy people that were around during Obama-Biden years. One more quick thing from Joe Biden. I want to play the formal thing. Cut number 15.
Proud Democrat. And I'll be proud to carry the banner of our party into the general election. So it's with great honor and humility I accept this nomination for President of the United States of America. But while I'll be a Democratic candidate, I will be an American president. I'll work hard for those who didn't support me, as hard for them as I did for those who did vote for me. That's the job of a president, to represent all of us, not just our base or our party. This is not a partisan moment. This must be an American moment. It's a moment that calls for hope and light and love, hope for our future, light to see our way forward, and love for one another. America isn't just a collection of clashing interests of red states or blue states. We're so much bigger than that.
That was a fine moment. Unfortunately, it's not true. Look to Portland, look to Seattle, look to Chicago, look to New York City. Listen to AOC. Listen to the squad. Listen to Bernie Sanders. They want a revolution, a fundamental rewriting of the Constitution. They do not like the Constitution. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to get rid of the Senate. They want to expand the Supreme Court. They want to destroy the integrity of the voting process. It's about power. So you can dress that up in good words, and Joe Biden did last night. I said confidently it's delivered, his high watermark. But I don't think it's believable. And I don't think you folks out there who are looking at Minnesota, at the Twin Cities, or especially at Portland, believe it's based on love, light, and hope. I'll be right back, America. More Joe Biden coming up after we talk to Sonny Bunch on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Sonny Bunch podcast this week was on the devastation of Hollywood and whether it will ever come back. Sonny Bunch joins me to spread his unique brand of cheer this morning. Good morning, Sonny. How are you?
I'm well, Hugh. How are you?
Good. I want to begin with a question. Your colleague in the occult art of cinematic review, John Podhoretz, says of the DNC, when you're standing alone in a room with a camera, you should follow the old movie actor adage that less is more. Do you agree with John?
Do I agree with you? You know, it depends on what sort of convention you are doing, I guess. I actually wasn't able to watch Joe Biden's big acceptance speech. I went to see Unhinged this week.
Wait, so you went to a movie theater?
I went to a movie theater. We can discuss that in a moment. But I actually have kind of liked the whole Zoom convention thing, the whole kind of, you know, and to John's point, the worst of these have always been the ones that have tried to do the most, right? Like the Billie Eilish,
Stephen Stills purple mist thing,
you know, that was ridiculous. But, you know, when it's just somebody who's there and kind of talking, I think it works a little bit better, you know?
Well, Joe Biden did fine. He was competent and he met his expectations. But I hope the Republicans learned that single solo speeches, unless it's the nominees, do not work. Sonny, you went to the movies. Where? Can you give me a secret passcode? Was it clean? Yeah. Were you safe?
So I'm going to I'm going to talk about all of this in my newsletter that goes out this week. But it was weird, Hugh. It was weird. So I went to the Alamo Draft House in Dallas, Texas, one of the Alamo Draft Houses here. And the Alamo Draft House, as people who have been here are aware, are these sorts of theaters where you sit down and a guy comes to you and you have a waiter throughout the movie, more or less, which is way less obtrusive than it sounds. You know, you think the idea of somebody running around the theater taking orders and delivering popcorn and the such would be horribly distracting, and it works very well. But it was very different. It was very different this time around. I mean, first off, you get to the theater and they do the temperature check, right? They check your forehead to make sure that you're not burning up with fever, which is the worst kind of security theater. It doesn't actually, it doesn't actually prove if somebody is healthy enough to be in the theater. It just kind of reminds you of the possibility that everybody can be sick. Once you get there and you sit down, they don't actually have the guys running around. You have to pre-order all of your food, and it comes to you. And I ordered popcorn, and there was cellophane on top of the popcorn, that I took off so I could eat it, which was, again, very weird. It's just unusual. It's not how it is, and it reminds you of how strange everything is. And, of course, everybody is supposed to be wearing masks in the theater. Now, I don't – you're a glasses – American like me, Hugh. I don't know if you've ever tried to sit there and watch something with a mask on your face, but the glasses, they fog up.
You have to lower it over your nose at least.
Yeah, I ended up taking the glasses off to try and keep the mask on, which led to the theater screen was a little bit blurry for me. Fortunately, I am not hugely nearsighted, just a little bit. So it was a little bit weird, Hugh. I gotta be honest with you, the whole thing. But it was also so nice just to be back in theaters, just to be doing something that up until about 6 months ago I totally took for granted.
How many people were there?
So in my theater there were about 10 people, I would say. There were about 10 people in this auditorium, and the way the draft house the way their kind of, seating charts work now is when you choose your reserve seat, it blocks out two seats on either side of you as, distance, social distancing, seats for social distancing. So, there were probably 10 people in the theater. I would say I was no closer than 7 or 8 feet away from the person nearest me. There was a person in the row directly in front of me. And the person closest after that was probably 10, 12 feet away.
Did it smell of disinfecting? Did it smell of hospital cleanliness?
No, it definitely didn't smell of hospital cleanliness. I saw people who worked for the theater going around cleaning things. There was a guy who was just kind of like making his rounds through the theater, running a disinfectant cloth over all sorts of stuff. That's not what I was worried about. That's not what I'm worried about. And I think that the science on this thing is pretty clear that touch transmission is not the thing that people should be worried about so much as airborne transmission.
Correct.
So much as stuff, and this is frankly the big problem with going back to movie theaters is that you're indoors, you're in an enclosed space, you're in recirculated air. This is essentially like the most dangerous supposedly thing that you can do, I guess, right? Which is and this is why everybody's supposed to be wearing masks, and this is why you were all kind of counting on each other in the theater to wear the mask. And when the lights went up and I looked around, I would say that I would say like 3 or 4 people of the 10 probably had taken their mask off during screening. I don't know how
On an airplane, I've had to fly twice, and everyone keeps their mask on. But that is because it's visible to everyone.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Where you're not in the dark, you're not, So, this is the sort of thing where you have to trust your fellow moviegoers. And frankly, I don't know how much I trust the
was it worth
person.
It for Unhinged?
Was it worth it for Unhinged? So Unhinged, I liked Unhinged quite a bit. It's a very classic sort of B movie, an action thriller. The way I would kind of describe it is, it's a little bit like the Michael Douglas movie Falling Down.
Oh, I loved Falling Down.
Yeah, but the guy who is falling down here is definitely not the hero, as opposed to the guy in Falling Down, which you could make an argument about. He's not really a hero. He's, you know, but he's very much the bad guy here. He's played by Russell Crowe. But it's Falling Down by way of Duel. Do you know the Steven Spielberg movie Duel?
I loved it.
It was originally a TV movie. It is Steven Spielberg's first full length feature film.
Loved
very
it.
Good.
Yep.
But anyway, Russell Crowe plays a very large man. He looks like he actually ate the semi truck from Russell Crowe does these days. But it works. It works for this role. He plays a very large, very hulking, bulking sort of guy who, as the movie starts, we see commit this really terrible act of violence. And then later, a few moments later, he gets into a road rage incident with a young woman named Rachel, and decides that he will teach her a lesson. And the rest of the movie is essentially him going around, finding people on the contact list of her phone and tormenting them and killing some of them to teach her a lesson about being polite on the road. It's very high concept. It's 90 minutes long. It's kind of a perfect B movie because Russell Crowe really elevates the material. I mean, Russell Crowe is a great actor, and he's legitimately terrifying in this movie. I mean, he is big. He's very big and very the mass of him is arguably the scariest thing about him. You believe him when he starts, you know, tossing people around and doing damage to people. So yeah, it's a scary action thriller. It's the sort of thing that, you know, in a normal before time environment, I would totally recommend seeing in theaters to see with people so you can gasp along at the surprises and the shocks and all that.
But in an AV after virus, I'm not going because I'm 64. I'm not going. AV moment, yeah. Not going.
And this is one of these things, right, where you're kind of looking at the actuarial tables and you're looking at the virus, you know, distribution by age. And, you know, if you're a 20-something,
you're aware of asymptomatic transmission and the lowest common denominator is the least safe person in the theater.
Right. But, right, I mean, this is the thing, is the asymptomatic transmission is a real thing. The simple fact of the matter is I went to a theater that is known for having patrons that follow a certain set of rules, right? The Alamo Drafthouse's whole shtick is if you talk during our movie theater experience, we kick you out. If you text while the movie's on, we kick you out. And so it's an audience that like kind of revels in being rule followers almost. It's a very strange subculture here. And if that audience is not going to be willing to abide by the mask rules, I don't trust AMC audiences or Regal audiences or anybody like that to do the same either. I mean, I think if you are going to the theaters this weekend or in the following weekend, you are essentially saying, okay, I accept the idea that I'm going to be in an enclosed space, possibly with asymptomatic transmission.
You're accepting that you're going to get sick. You're accepting that you're going to get sick.
You are taking that very real chance. It's a riskier activity than going outside and walking in a park. It's I would say a less risky activity than like, I don't know, going to the gym. But it's still a risk. It's a risk. Yeah.
Now, Sonny, I got a quick question for you. I have finished The Wire. I'm done. It was great. I can't get Mad Men for some reason. I need a series that's got meat on the bone that goes for a long time.
Oh, let's see. Let me think. I mean, you've watched The Sopranos.
Yes. Yes. And Deadwood. And
did you watch Breaking Bad?
No, I've never watched Breaking Bad.
Oh, see, that's it. That's the one then.
Breaking Bad. Okay. That's Sonny Bunch. Have you published that yet in your newsletter? By the way, how do people get your newsletter?
You can sign up for my newsletter. If you go to my Twitter feed, you go to my profile, at Sonny Bunch, the link in my profile, it'll take you right to the newsletter.
How often are you doing it?
Sign up there. Once a week, just on Fridays. I'm not going to clog up your inbox with all sorts of nonsense. Once a week.
And when does the Bulwarks podcast come out?
The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood, that comes out every Thursday. So this week I actually talked to the author of PEN America's report on Chinese influence on American movies. And it was a really fascinating talk about the propaganda efforts that Chinese authorities are trying to insert into Hollywood efforts. I mean, it's a big problem, and nobody really understands.
No, it's a huge, exactly. Enormous problem, and we ought to go get Sonny Bunch's podcast and newsletter. And I thank you, Sonny. I'll watch Breaking Bad. Thank you, my friend. Coming back with Tarzana Joe, Poet Laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show. It's the Friday edition. More Joe Biden coming up as well. Stay tuned. Joined now by the Poet Laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Hugh. It's been a great week of primetime television, hasn't it?
Oh dear.
Of course, I'm talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay.
Convention. While Bernie wrote the platform and while Biden took a nap, pundits were discussing the enthusiasm gap. It's hard to rally voters with the specter of you losing when the speeches are recorded and the candidate is snoozing. It's hard to make the argument that everything went swell when you're beaten in the ratings by the new Saved by the Bell. Why watch a nomination when you know ahead who won it? Why read yourself a thriller when you know before who done it? I know that in conventions all the beats are tightly planned, the affection is affected, and the ecstasy is canned. But in a normal gathering, not everything is certain, and the audience has hopes to catch a glimpse behind the curtain. That's why the grand old party should take pains to make some news, a song by Mitch McConnell, or some stand-up from Ted Cruz.
Huh.
Perhaps a string of interviews arranged ad seriatim as Trump takes on all comers. Bring 'em if you got 'em. So fire up the barbecue and pour yourself a scotch. 1 against 100? Now that's something I would watch. That's the Republican Convention by Tarzana Joe.
We are in agreement, Joe.
Inspired again by Hugh Hewitt.
We are in agreement, Tarzana Joe. We are in agreement. Joe, I hope the poetry business continues apace with your creativity.
It is cooking along, baby.
Write to Joe at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com if you need poetry of any sort. Tarzana Joe, Poems and Words Made in the USA, TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. And Joe, will that be posted at TarzanaJoe.com?
Absolutely. Thank you.
I thank you for your efforts, Joe.
Good day.
I also want everyone to hear Chris Coons. Senator Coons, a friend of mine, and he introduced Joe Biden last night, and it was a high point of the convention, I thought. Here is Senator Coons' introduction of Joe Biden, cut number 26.
People of faith have long led change, from abolition and women's suffrage to the labor movement and the struggle for civil rights. Joe Biden will continue that progressive march towards justice. Inspired by respect for the dignity of all people, people Joe believes were made in the image of God. Joe learned that from his parents and the nuns and priests right here in Delaware who taught him and inspired in him a passion for justice. I'm Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, and I want to tell you about my friend Joe Biden. His faith is strong, and it's personal and private. For Joe, faith isn't a prop or a political tool. I've known Joe about 30 years, and I've seen his faith in action. Joe knows the power of prayer, and I've seen him in moments of joy and triumph, of loss and despair, turn to God for strength. Joe's comforted me in my toughest moments, as he has so many others. I'll never forget how Joe took the time to offer me words of comfort as my father lay in hospice. Time and again, I've seen him stop everything and listen, really listen, to someone who needs a shoulder to cry on or a partner in prayer. That compassion, that empathy is part of his character. More than anything, Joe's a man of faith and conscience. He'll be a president for Americans of all faiths, as well as people of conscience who practice no particular faith. Joe's faith is really about our future, about a world with less suffering and more justice, where we're better stewards of creation, where we have a more just immigration policy, and where we call out and confront the original sins of this nation, the sins of slavery and racism. Joe knows these are central issues in this election, and for him, they're rooted in faith. Joe knows that it's faith that sustains so many ordinary Americans who do extraordinary things. Nurses who brave infection, firefighters who run into burning buildings, teachers working overtime, especially now. They all deserve a servant leader who knows the dignity of work, who sees them, respects them, fights for them. We need a president who brings people of all faiths together to tackle our challenges, rebuild our country, and restore our humanity. Someone who knows we're called to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Joe Biden will be that president. Joe's always known this race is a battle for the soul of our country, and he's right. Joe believes. He believes in both the greatness and the goodness of this country. He believes in us and in what we can do together.
Chris Coons gave the best testimony for Joe Biden. He's a very good man. Chris Coons is a very good man. If the Democratic Party were Chris Coons' party, I wouldn't mind alternating party times in office with their president and the Republican president, but they have gone off the rails. Chris Coons is an echo of Henry Jackson's Democratic Party, which is gone. AOC is their party now. The Squad is their party now. Kamala Harris is their most conservative lefty. And that's who they put on their ticket with Joe Biden, who is, as the Wall Street Journal says this morning, almost certainly a one-term president. He gave a fine speech last night, his high water mark. He can't return to the basement. He has to start answering some tough questions. And everything he said was just simply not the truth about the virus. He does not convey any new policy, any new approach. And unfortunately, the left will own a Biden administration. So I think Trump's going to win. But Chris Coons did a magnificent job in telling us about the best side of Joe Biden, which is he's a nice guy. The Wall Street Journal said nobody doubts it for a moment. He's a nice guy. But his penchant for terrible decisions is well known and I think inevitable were he to become president. More coming up on the Biden speech, more reaction. Zeke Miller coming up from the AP. Lots of other things happening. Don't go anywhere, America. It is the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.